Megazone Radio Podcasts.
Very good afternoon. Welcome to Conversations with me, CJ Benjamin. Getting straight into the program today, I'm streaming live on Facebook. I am CJ Benjamin. If you follow social media as closely as I do, you would have come across the story of a 14-year-old Jordan Kay, who was bullied at her school. And her mom actually wrote the post and spoke about breaking her silence. And for me, it was a little bit frustrating because we're reading about yet another bullying incident. And the question I have for you today is, where does all of this start? Where is the bullying starting? Are children going to school and learning how to become bullies from their peers? Or are children picking up some bad habits and taking it into the school from their homes? Where does it start really? What's going on and what can we do about it? A 14-year-old was beat. She was hit from behind and fell unconscious onto the ground and was repeatedly kicked. Now, I feel like the schools are failing us. The school, the educational system is failing us when our children are being bullied and being beaten and being assaulted and no one's doing anything about it. So on Conversations today, we're talking with Natasha Stagia, and it's her daughter who was bullied. But I also have our veteran expert on all matters concerning bullying, Vicky Prithraj, who will join us for the hour in studio. We have to establish what's happening in our communities and deal with it as well. Who is responsible ultimately for the bullying in our schools? But with that said, a very good afternoon to you, Natasha.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Natasha, thank you very much for joining us on the program. If you could please just help our listeners understand, what happened with your daughter?
What exactly happened to my daughter is I got a message on the 31st of October from the teacher, that's in fact a class teacher, stating that Jordan fainted, that I need to come pick her at school. And I said, well, if you just fainted, I'll send somebody to the school and I'll have her fetched that morning. And later the evening when I came from work, my friend actually said to me that Jordan did not faint, and she was actually hit from behind the ear. She fell down unconscious and she was repeatedly kicked. I went to the school the next day and I had a meeting with the vice principal and the principal, and I asked him, can you please investigate what's happening with my daughter? She's only 14 years old. The message that I got from the school that she fainted, so nobody even found the ambulance to let me know that she was unconscious. And they said, no, they will just investigate. Up until then, I still never got any phone call from them. There's been no communication, nothing. I only seen, I posted on Facebook, someone has come forward to say that they actually did in fact hit Jordan from the back and she fell unconscious.
So help me understand. The school sends you a message and says your daughter fainted.
Yes.
So, of course, as a parent, you think, okay, I'll have her collected. It's okay. It's not as major and as serious as it actually was. Who told you? Was it your teenager who told you that Jordan was hit?
It was one of the teachers. When I came out of the meeting, I actually, she told me, Mom, I was hit by at the back of my head. So I thought, this is him. He was an investigator. And I spoke to the principal and the vice principal, and they said, you know, they need to investigate. So when I got outside of the school, one of the teachers actually told me, they said, Natasha, Jordan did not faint. I was the one that picked Jordan off the ground. I had to shake her, but for her to speak to me, it took him a long time. He threw over a little bit of water and stuff like that.
God.
And she told him, somebody hit me and I could feel while I was laying on the ground repeatedly kicks to my body.
Was Jordan ever bullied before this incident?
Before this incident, Jordan had a altercation at the school in the second term on the 7th of August.
And tell me what happened then?
Another pupil in the class, there was no teacher present. The two of them were teasing each other. I think she poked him with a pencil or something like that. And then he went to speak to another friend of hers, and then Jordan went to the friend. And then I'm not exactly sure because I still need to find out exactly what happened. But then she said he hit her on her nose was bleeding, and then she fell down to the ground. She repeatedly tried to get other people's assistance, and he kept on hitting her. And when she got up, she gave him there's a video of it where you can see she's actually pushed him off the mat.
I believe that there was a video that's been circulating about her being hit by a boy. So this is the same video?
Yes, that is the same video.
Now, this is a boy that was hitting her, because I believe, Vicky, if you could come in for a second, this is a video you saw as well. Could you just describe for me what you saw in that video?
What I saw in the video is Jordan basically kneeling on the ground and he's kicking her with a knee in her face.
Vicky, if you could just come in for a second on this. You happened to see this video, didn't you?
Let me start by introducing myself again. I'm Vicky from an organization called Funda Sophila Foundation. We run EduAssist awareness programs in school. But coming to the video that I've seen this particular student lying on the ground where a boy was actually kicking and hitting her from the back. And it was actually so strange to see that the class was full of kids.
Yes.
And no one helped this poor child out. Now, I don't know what the child could have said. I don't know what have caused this. But you could see the anger in the bully when he was actually attacking this child.
It's unbelievable that a boy, that a male would approach a girl and would assault her. I'm not saying that it's okay if it's two girls, but I'm just horrified that a boy would do this. Natasha, you mentioned, and please, just in order for me to be fair on the show, you mentioned that Jordan had poked him with a pencil. Do you know what that was about?
The thing is, when they're in the classroom, and this is what the vice principal said to me, is that they play fight, they go on with each other, they tease each other all the time. So obviously he got a moment after that, after the pencil poking, they were so fine. So something probably happened after that that triggered him to hit Jordan.
So your understanding is that this was playful from Jordan's side? And this boy reacted very aggressively later.
Yeah.
As a parent, I can only imagine how furious you must be, because I'm not a parent, but believe me, if it was my child, I would be absolutely furious about it, especially considering that not much seems to have been done to protect your child, and there was a second incident. Did you go to the school the first time this video made the rounds and you found out?
Yes, I did in fact go to the school, and I went to the police station. I had to go to the doctor. She got x-rays, and I went to the school, and they, with the swelling in the neck and her face, they actually told me at the school that, but it looks like a tooth abscess, like she's got abscess swelling from that. So I said, but I've got the x-rays to prove that this is from the fight.
Did Jordan ever come home and say to you, Mom, the kids in the school are being nasty to me, or there's bullying at my school? Did she ever have this conversation with you, ever, before these incidents?
Yes, she did have conversations with me about that.
Okay, and did you think it was serious, or did you just think that kids would be kids and not make much of it?
Because Jordan's a very talkative and she's very out there, so I just told her, Jordan, maybe it's because when people talk to you, it's the way you express yourself back to them. So just keep quiet, greet everybody, you know, just be normal. But Jordan, like I said, Jordan's very outspoken. So for her, sometimes to keep quiet is a little bit hard.
Do you wish now that you went to the school the first time Jordan said there was a problem, or that she complained?
Yes, I do wish that I did go to the school earlier.
You know, and I'll tell you why I asked, Natasha, because what you serve on the show today is also, you know, for us, the rest of the country, the rest of the community, to learn from your experience, because it's not the first time I've had a parent on the show say, I didn't make much of it. I didn't think it was all that serious. And yet later on, the last show we had about abuse, a 10-year-old boy was beaten until his appendix burst. And similarly, the parent also said she thought nothing of it until it became so serious. And I can understand a parent's point of view when children come home complaining, but I think the message here, the key learning, would be to take it seriously the first time and go to the school, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I agree with that totally.
From where I sit, it doesn't matter what was said and it doesn't matter what happens. Bullying on both parts is unacceptable. And Natasha, I'm sure you would agree with me. If it was Jordan who was bullying someone, you would also say it's unacceptable, yes?
Yes, of course. If it was Jordan, I would have been there and Jordan would have been punished.
Absolutely. And this is what I'm saying. You know, I appreciate that people are curious about what led to this. And I'm simply saying it doesn't make a difference to me, because a child could have lost her life if this was any more severe, and then would we be so curious about the story? And I appreciate what you're saying, Carmen, but I think that we need to get down to the root of why our children are going to school and thinking that it is okay to assault another child, another human being. Natasha, do you know who it is that's assaulted your baby?
In the first incident, yes, I do. The second incident, they just gave me the information that somebody came forward, so I don't know the person.
In the first incident, you knew who the child was. And what was your thoughts as a parent when you know the person who's assaulted your baby?
Well, the scene was also very soft, and initially in the first hearing that we had, the disciplinary meeting that we had, the schools did not even give the parents all the information that they needed. So they had to postpone it to a second hearing meeting, and which we went to the second meeting, we could actually cross-examine both Jordan and the pupil in question, Bailey Jordan. And Jordan could also ask him questions, and then after that, nothing.
What came out of this? This cross-examination, what did you get out of it? What did Jordan get out of it?
For me, is that he obviously was remorseful, and she could forgive him if the school could have just given him some sort of a punishment. Like, if after the incident, maybe he has suspended him for a few days or something like that, but she had to be subjected to be still in the same classroom with him, still at the same school, you know? So...
And nothing was done? No disciplinary action on that child at all?
No, nothing.
Carmen Govan has responded to say, I agree, but bullying should never happen to a girl or a boy. Carmen, I'm with you, completely with you. I agree 100%. We can't tolerate it either way, whether it's a boy or a girl. It's just simply unacceptable. Sharon Christina Chetty Jonathan, got quite a name, Sharon, says, children who bully others at school are usually allowed to behave badly at home. And because they are never corrected at home, they don't think or view it as bad behavior. It must be corrected at home in order for the child to behave in a proper manner at school. Parents are to blame for these hooligans. No, it is certainly not acceptable at all. You know, Sharon, I just want to come in on this. I know we usually tend to say, you know, it starts at home. And I'm a believer that all morals, values, discipline starts at home. But I think, to a large extent, that parents aren't necessarily always to blame. I don't think that they're always to blame for what happens. I think that there are some great parents and kids come from incredible homes, but once they get into school, they're completely different human beings. And they wear a different mask, as we've discussed recently, once they enter the school ground, and there's peer pressure and social media and you're following hip-hop culture. So I think that there's a varied response to this, and there's a varied approach to why a child would behave in a certain manner. You're in Mitchell's Plain, are you, Natasha?
Yes, I'm living in the Mitchell's Plain area now, yes.
Is the school also in Mitchell's Plain?
The school is actually in Claremont.
Tell me about the area of Claremont.
The area of Claremont is a very affluent coloured area, and the school that Jordan attends is actually one of the best schools in Cape Town, because in education there, they're the most influential people, like doctors and lawyers, and so that used to be one of the top schools in Cape Town.
The reason I ask you is there tends to be an idea or a perception that this only happens in certain areas where perhaps there's a lot of violence or gangsterism and drug abuse, and what you're clearly saying to us is that it's not necessarily about the area. This is happening in an affluent school. Tell me, how is Jordan at the moment?
Jordan is actually fine at the moment. She's actually much quieter now. She keeps to herself now at the moment. So I feel that is best for her. I know that she's taken a bit of a knock personality-wise. But I said to her that she mustn't be, be afraid to speak. But now she's too afraid to speak.
That really, really makes me sad, because what it's done is that it's almost... or it's altering the personality of a child, because she's been a victim of bullying, so she's no longer herself, and this is really unfair. So it's not just physical trauma, but it's the emotional and mental trauma that little Jordan has to live through as well. Has she healed and recovered from her injuries from the bullying?
From the first injury, yes, she gets a bit of slight headaches now and then, and if somebody touches her from the back, it's like she's got this reaction with her arm, like she feels like she's being attacked.
Right. Yeah, that's a psychological reaction for sure. That's fear. I'm also joined by Vicky Preetraj, who joins us on the program today from Funda Sopila, the foundation that handles and deals with bullying. Where are we going wrong here, Vicky?
Okay, first, let me compliment the mom there for being her daughter's best friend. Usually, we don't get that happening in parents.
Sure.
We get this problem where parents are actually so far away from the kids that they don't understand some of the pressures they have, at school. But coming back to this incident that happened and coming back to the video, I feel that the incident, the first incident where Natasha mentioned that her daughter poked the boy with the pen or the pencil.
Yes.
And then she mentioned that everything was okay after that. But I believe there was something there that was premeditated, because when you look at that video, it seems that the person or the boy knew what he was going to do next, because the person who filmed the clip shows you that from start to finish, he knew what he was doing as well. So this was something to get status,
right,
to become popular. Now, coming back to this whole incident in Cape Town, now I just want to tell you that in Cape Town, they have this safe school zones. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of what they call programs that they run. The department is actually quite effective with, when it comes to bullying there. Now, every district, I'm not sure where Claremont fits in, but they can actually contact the school safe zones and find out who is actually the coordinator for that area.
Good.
And what they could do is that actually speak to the person. But let's go forward to the school. Now, looking at what Natasha mentioned, I feel every school, according to the Department of Education, should have a record book of all these complaints.
Yes.
Now, when you look at the school here, the first thing Natasha should have actually seen or witnessed is that the first incident was actually recorded there as well. But from what I gather, nothing of that was done. Mm-hmm. The second incident as well. It seems that no one has actually went in and recorded everything that's happening. The reason for this record or this report, what they tend to do is that they tend to take this report and send it to the district office. So if a case like this is escalated and it has a serious effect on the child, there's always a record that the protocol has been followed. But from what I hear and what we have seen from the mom here is the principal has not followed any protocol here. And like I said in the program previously, is yes, that when it comes to bullying, we need to understand every child is different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some children at the end of the day will react differently, but we don't know the status of that child. The longer we take to deal or find a solution, the harder it becomes to a child. We just heard it from the mom, but the mom mentioned as well that a child has gone more quieter. From someone that was more bubbly,
yes,
now gone quieter. So what we're saying that the school needs to understand that we need to handle these situations quickly and efficiently so that it does not create a blockage in the child's life.
I want to put a question to you, everyone who's on Facebook and who's listening in. My question to you is, if your child had come home with a report from the school saying that your son or your daughter had bullied another child, what would you do? What would your reaction be as a parent? Because this is, for me, Vicky and Natasha, the most important thing. If your child is the person who's bullying, if your child is the bully, what are you going to do about it? And I agree with what someone is saying earlier, that you can't simply just pat him on the back and go, don't do it again. There has to be consequences for children's bad behavior in order to prevent them from doing it again. There aren't any sort of recourse available. If it was your child who was the bully, what would you do? How would you deal with this at home? Because I hear what you're saying. Parents are responsible. It starts at home. We send our children into the school. What values are we instilling in them? And here's the bigger point. What are we saying is okay and is not okay to our children? Because bullying should be absolutely unacceptable in every one of your homes. It should be unacceptable. You should be, you know, let me say this. When I was in school, my dad would arrive and my mom at any time and suddenly be walking through the corridors of the school. And I promise you, I didn't do anything wrong, but I always thought I did something wrong if my parents were in school. And I was terrified because my parents were disciplinarians and it worked. I don't know that that happens anymore. I know that parents are working and that life is difficult, but it does help to do these spot checks on your kids to arrive and find out from the school. It's not good enough to just wait for the end of year report to know how your child is doing. Natasha, could you tell us, I mean, do you visit the school regularly? Is it a normal practice for parents to just visit the school and find out what's going on?
I don't actually regularly visit the school, but what I'll do is if I drop off at the school, I'll make sure that she's safe. Or if I pick her up, I'll ask her how her day is going, stuff like that. But no, I don't regularly come to the school unless they have like a event at the school or like a marketing right. or something like that, then I will go to school.
How do you feel after these two incidents where your daughter was attacked? Do you think that you should be more regular in school?
Definitely. I think that would actually help. I even spoke to Jordan, I said to her, what do you feel it would be like if you had like more youth programs in the school and more sports or interactive, because we can actually speak to all students to find out what's they like and dislike. So do you think that will be better? So she agreed with me.
Tell us about Jordan's interaction at school at the moment. Do you believe your daughter is safe in her classroom?
She is safe now. Like basically after my first night, she's quiet. She feels safer. There was a few teachers that actually commented to her say that they can't believe that I would do something like that and put the school's name out there.
Okay, so let's understand this. Your daughter was assaulted twice and quite physically bad, and the school is offended that you've mentioned their name in a social media post. Let's look at the gravity of both and decide what's more important here. A child's life is more important. It's ridiculous. I really think it's so ridiculous that they've taken offense. But has the school reached out to you ever since that post to remedy the situation?
None whatsoever. No communication at all. Not even a call or a message or what's a message, nothing.
So we don't know yet that there's a disciplinary process about the child who assaulted your daughter the second time? None of this is happening?
Yes, nothing.
And had you been to school for a proper meeting, a formal sit-down with the powers that be?
No, I haven't. I've just been to the school after the second incident. I was at the one meeting and that was it. And I asked him to make communication with me, let me know when I need to come to school. Because whenever I do come to school, I have to sit and wait for two to three hours, and I hear a lot of excuses that they're always in meetings.
And did you share with them the harsh reality of what happened with your child and the aftermath, the injuries? Did you discuss any of this with them?
Yes, I did speak to the vice principal about that.
And still nothing?
And still nothing.
It's yet another incident of bullying. Videos doing the rounds on social media of a child being abused. And Vicky Preetraj is on the show today, and he's going to offer some support and some advice on what we need to do if it happens to your child. But I'm asking you the question, parents, what would you do if it was your child that was the bully? How would you handle this? How would you resolve this in your home? Sharon says, I will firstly speak to my child, and yes, there will be serious consequences for my child to face, as we will not put up with this hooligan behavior. I will immediately take my child and go back to school and find out what happened, and will then make sure I visit the school regularly thereafter to keep a check on my child. No doubt I will be on his case 24/7. Vicky, come in on this one. We were chatting off air just before the program about the relationship that parents and children need to have in order to address this, perhaps from the first incident.
Yes. From what I gather, Natasha mentioned that she's been talking to the vice principal. I just want to understand, where is the principal in all this?
The principal only spoken to me on the second incident, the very next day. That was the first time that he actually spoken to me.
Because I know, from working with many schools have an open door policy where you have this opportunity to address things directly to the principal. Now, looking at this whole situation, and since it's so serious, I think he should be actually the person that's handling this whole situation. But moving forward, if you don't get any joy from the school, you need to go to the district office where the school is situated. Now, you got a district manager, it's called a circuit manager, where you could actually bring this complaint to him. And you can also check if this complaint was reported to them. If it was, you get him to start addressing the problem. If you fail with him, you have a senior manager there that you need to address it, or you can take it one step further. You can see the district director to handle this problem. But again, coming back to the report that you said that you made with the SAPS, and they didn't do much from reading your post, what I want to say to many listeners is that when you go to the police station to make a report, especially when a child has been abused and being bullied, you need to ask them for the victim-friendly room. Now, the victim-friendly room, they have special policers or officers that are trained to handle these cases. So when you go there, you'll be interviewed. Obviously, they will find out what really happened and so forth. And then a report will be actually made. Now, usually what we tend to do, we go straight to the front office and we want to start complaining there. And you realize that most of the time that you do not get any joy. You feel that you're just like a normal complaint. So I advise parents out there, when they are reporting a serious issue like this, ask them. Every police station has a victim-friendly room. And these people, if they cannot assist you, they always have other people that are linked to them that they could bring in to assist the child.
A message in from Claire. She says, schools have a code of conduct that parents sign. There are procedures in place for bullying and bad behavior. So if the school is not implementing this, then it needs to be addressed. Natasha, I really believe that the school needs to be held accountable for this. Fortunately, little Jordan is okay and she's recovered from it. Not necessarily from the emotional and mental trauma, but physically she's okay. But it could have been worse. And Natasha, it could be somebody else's child tomorrow.
Yes, and that's the reason why I posted what I posted, because I felt like there must be other parents out there that feel the same way that I feel. Like I feel like my hands are tied. Like, what do I do? What's my next step? And I've used a lot of recalls and I did speak to a lot of people, but it's just like dating from the dating. But after my Facebook post, I believe that there can be other kids that can be reached and other parents can get the help that they deserve as well.
Has your child ever been hit before in her life?
On school, in primary school, yes. There was just one incident, but that was only a wonderful thing.
The reason I'm asking is I'm trying to imagine a 14-year-old, Vicky. I'm trying to imagine a child being kicked while she's lying on the ground. It's not okay by any standard. It is unacceptable, and it's unacceptable, Vicky, that the school is not following the due process to address this and to institute disciplinary action. It will persist if nothing is done.
Definitely. It will actually open up, for other kids to continue doing these things, knowing that...
Correct.
The principal does not take any action, and I agree with you, the school should be held responsible for what has happened. But, also with something like this, we need to understand that the school should introduce ways and means where kids who are bullied are able to report the incident immediately.
Yes.
For instance, if the child is scared to come forward, they should have a box where the child can write whatever has happened and place it in a box where the school can look into it. The other thing that we need to also understand, especially in schools, we need to encourage our kids that if they see a child that's being bullied, they need to go and tell it to a teacher. They don't need to go and approach the bully, but they can go and actually warn a teacher or go and tell it to a teacher, because sometimes those children that are being bullied, they are so scared to even report it to their own teacher. So what they do is they take it all in, and they go into a state of depression.
Yes.
And so often, like what you said, I want to compliment the mom again for taking action, for noticing that a daughter has been, what you call, depressed and being bullied, and a daughter was able to communicate with a parent. So often we don't have this, where the children do not have this open relationship because the way we parents behave at home. Like I said previously, is that we tend to shut our children out before they can speak.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do those things, when a child is having these experiences in school, they will not come and speak to a parent. They try to deal with them themselves. And how they deal with it is to get depressed, stop eating, and eventually this could lead to something very seriously. And when something very seriously like suicide takes place, we all want to get on a bandwagon and try to explain what could have been done when we could prevent it from the first place.
100% with you, Vicky. I'm completely with you on this one. We react so late. We get really, really emotionally strung about things when we read about a child who's lost their life. And it's usually because of something that was insurmountable in their lives. And bullying has been at the forefront of late. If you are not speaking to your children, who is? If you are not providing the advice to your children, who is? If your daughter, your son is being bullied, who is he or she turning to if they can't come to you? How often are we so busy as parents that when our kids come to us, we say later, I'm just going to cook dinner, I'll talk to you later. Let's chat about it another time, not right now. And when you shut that door, you don't know what they're going through. Little Jordan, if she couldn't trust her mom, would not have come home and said, this is what's happening to me. And it's so good that she could talk to her mother. If a parent is listening in right now and his or her child is dealing with any sort of bullying, what can be done? What's the first step?
The first step, I've always said this to my child, or my son Ryan and my daughter, is that it's not your fault. You need to give them that assurance. It is not your fault. We will deal with the issue together. Once the child actually has that authority, you'll be surprised how much more the child will tell you. The child will even tell you, like what Natasha mentioned, that her daughter poked the boy with the pen and so forth. You'll be surprised that your own child will open up and tell you what role they played in this whole issue of bullying. But on the other side, I just want to say this as well. I think parents, at the end of the day, should, like what your parents did, CJ, is that yes. They got to school, they came unexpectedly to see and so forth. We need that way of parents nowadays to do those things. It's not that you're spying on your kids. Your kids need to understand that you love them, you care for them, and therefore you do these things. So often we tend to just ignore it. We expect our children are big enough, they will continue doing things themselves.
We chatted with the parent of little Jordan, 14-year-old who was beaten in school, and we're talking to her on the program today. And the most important thing that I want you to take away from the show today is that you need to create the conversation with your children at home. You need to talk to your kids. You need to have the conversation directly about what's happening in school. If your kids are not talking to you, the chances are that they are enduring something, but unfortunately they can't handle it. And it may result in some damaging consequences. Natasha Staggi has taken on the school and she's taken to social media. But why, Vicky? Why do we need to go to social media to get the attention of the authorities?
You know, when you look at some of these issues that we've seen lately on social media, for a parent to go to that extent, it means that they lost hope with the school, they lost hope with the government, in other words, the SAPS and so forth. The only way forward is to actually bring this whole thing and make it public for people to help them. I mean, when we look at Natasha there, you can see she's actually crying out, what do I do next? How do I go forward? And this is where we, as people out there, we need to actually stand up with her. Like, for instance, that school that's happening, there should be more parents that should actually go in there and ask them, what have the school has done to actually resolve this problem? Yeah, from what I gather and what we've heard, is that she's fighting this battle alone.
Yes.
Now, I want to know, what are the other parents in that neighborhood doing? You know, I said this before and I'll say it again. We got this mentality, if it's not my child, who cares? So we have this problem that you know what, let that parent deal with their own child. I should not get involved. But we need to understand that when we go to school, we're not sending a child only where there's one teacher and one pupil. We've got a group of kids. So we need to understand that if that child is being bullied today, mm-hmm. what's stopping my child from being the next one? If this child or the bully that's actually done these things to this particular child, what's stopping that bully from interfering with my child? How would you react if it was your child?
Interesting comment coming in from Pandit Mivesh. He says, CJ, a family in Phoenix, a girl was bullied and throttled and dragged to the toilets. But when the parents went to the school, the principal said he can do nothing about it. And when I see the governing body, they also say they can't do anything about this now. I think this is a major problem where the schools are not handling the bullying, the incidences of bullying. Is it because they're not equipped? As far as you're concerned, Vicky, is it a lack of knowledge on how to handle this, the sensitivities? Surely there's a process within the school instituted by the Department of Education on how to deal with these matters.
Yes, every school has a guideline from the department how to handle these situations. But, you know, when you look at a school, you know, a lot of schools out there want to be the school, you know. They want to be a school that does not have any problem, but what they tend to do is that I feel they tend to take this problem and put it under the carpet so that the media, the people out there will not, what they call, know about it. But what we need to educate the parents of these kids that there is a way forward. If you're not getting any joy with the school, go to the district office. Go and see the district manager. Complain to him. Let him now do the work. Let him phone the school and ask the school how come this issue was not addressed. Because what happens is that I think a lot of parents are not aware that they have that open policy. They can go to the district office. If the district manager does not help them, go and see his senior. If that senior does not help you, go and see the director.
Don't stop until you get results.
That's it. And when you do these things, that school will be aware that when there's another issue of bullying in that school, what's going to happen? They will take it more seriously. Now, I always want to know, and we always wondered, that why would a school, or why does a school take bullying seriously when a life is lost? Why can't you actually act on it before that life is lost?
A comment coming in from Verlene Leo. Listening right now, you're right. No matter the detail of the bullying at this stage, why is there no communication from school to parent? If protocol is followed, surely communicating in such circumstances are vital. Good values, morals, etc. ideally should be taught at home. We all say that. Truth is, it does not always happen. So I believe we can support through our schools. We can stand together and open up opportunities like Scouts, Rotary, Interact, etc. There are also sporting projects which could allow students to divert energy into. I think it's a valuable point. I think what you're saying is that it's necessary to engage in sort of workshops, to engage in strategy sessions at school where we either educate through sport, educate through music. There's a concept of edutainment, Vicky. And you've got the Bully Boogies program and you're dealing with it through a board game. For those of the listeners who are listening to you for the first time, could you please tell us what this does and how it can help our schools?
Now, what we tend to do is that we run these edu awareness programs in schools. Previously, we were doing it directly with the kids. But when we realized that we need to get a better audience, we want children to be more attracted to it, we want them to be part of it, we decided now to do the program with the teachers. So what the teachers do is that this interactive program that we do is that they will tell a story. The program is done in three parts. They will tell the story where, while the story is being told, there is 12 character parts to the story. So the kids will actually take part when these character names come up, and if they're holding those character cards in their hand, they will actually read out the comments that the character, you know, is saying in the story. The second part, what we did is that we realized that the teachers spend many, many hours preparing for a lesson. I'm talking about an LO lesson.
Yes.
And what will happen, let me go back and say, on bullying and abuse, they spend many hours for this lesson. And when they present this in the class, when they want feedback from the children, they get very little feedback. And some of the things that are discussed in this lesson, those kids that did not even have any question will go and commit the same offense on the outset. So we came back and we thought, how do we make these kids understand that what has been taught there is very important? So we designed a board called the Bully Boogie Challenge. Mm-hmm. And what the board does, it replaces the teacher for that particular time. The board will discipline, the board will punish, and the board will reward. In other words, let me use some points on the board. You might land on a block that will say to you, for being a buddy, move one space forward. Or you might land on a block that will say to you, for laughing at someone's dressing, miss a 10. Now, if you take that, mm-hmm. and if the teacher had to say to someone, listen, stop laughing at the person, the child will look at the teacher and he will not even bother. He will go back and he'll continue doing it because he didn't hear it. He heard it, but he didn't read it. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, with the board game, every time you roll the dice and you want to move forward, you have to read those comments there. You either say, I wish I can land on that block because it rewards you, or I wish I don't land on the block because it's going to punish you.
Right.
Now, obviously, for instance, on the board, block 35, you'll be sitting on block 35. Your eyes are already followed on block 37 that says, for stealing, go back to start. Now, obviously, that child, before they roll the dice, they're hoping that they don't get a 2 to land on the block.
Yes.
Now, compare that to the class teacher telling them stealing is bad. Mm-hmm. They will just take it for granted. But yeah, in order for them to progress, they will read it for themselves.
If you just joined us on the program, good afternoon. Welcome into it. This is Conversations with me, CJ Benjamin, on Megazone Media. We stream on All Hit Radio as well as Megazone Bollywood and on my Facebook page. I'm reading all of your comments on Facebook, and it's really sad to see that there is no support at this particular school, Pandit Mivesh. And it's good that you, as a Hindu priest, you've gotten involved and you're trying your best to resolve this. And I'm glad that you are. It's important that we stand together. Something Vicky said earlier, which is very important. He said that the community needs to stand together with the parent of the child who's the victim. And it's really true, because Natasha, who unfortunately, I think her battery's died and we can't get her back on the line. But for a parent who is dealing with a child who has been bullied, it is so important that the parent feels like they're not alone. It's important that the parent feels like there's an army or a team of parents who are as concerned. Now, let me say this. You don't have to wait for your child to be bullied in order to be affected. what you can do as a concerned parent, because this is a school environment which is meant for learning, development and so on, you need to make sure that it is a safe space for all children. And it doesn't mean because your child has not been bullied that it doesn't affect you. So I do believe that there needs to be a call on parents to stand together. Glenda Harper says, I feel the teachers and principals' hands are tied. Half the teachers get bullied by kids. There's no respect for authority. A child is molded at home in their first 6 years. We can't blame schools. It's the parents at the end of the day. We took discipline out of school, so we shouldn't complain when this happens. Interesting point, Glenda. I think that I was just watching a video before the show about a teacher who was assaulted by a student, and it's horrific. I come from the era where you did not back chat. You did not say anything back to your educator. I'm not by any means condoning any abuse from educators, please. But I came from an era where even if a teacher complained to your parent, you were always wrong. It's the roles have reversed now, where parents go to school to fight with teachers, to get involved in screaming matches with teachers, to assault teachers, and therefore children go to school thinking they also have the right to do the same. And on all accounts, it's not okay. There's no respect for superiority or the authority of a teacher in a classroom. Charmaine says, name calling is one of the first signs of bullying at an early age. As parents, sometimes we are amused and we find it innocent, but what our kids are doing at pre-primary. But if you reprimand these kids immediately, they won't continue knowing that it is wrong. Why? Because mom or dad said so. So parental guidance and involvement is so important. Remember, what's innocent now can be detrimental later. I think that's very, very well said, Charmaine. Thank you very much for that. It is as simple as a name call.
True.
Right, Vicky. It starts with calling a child a name, and then it goes on to even further insulting until it becomes highly aggressive and includes some physical and bullying, physical abuse. But Vicky, I want to come in on this. I don't necessarily think that we should only focus on the fact that bullying is primarily physical. There's also cyberbullying.
Plenty, plenty. You know, that it's sad that, you know, when we grew up, we didn't have all these modern technologies. And today, at the fingertips, you have the cell phone, the iPad, and so forth. And so often people tend to cyberbully a lot of kids, where they'll send them messages and so forth. And, you know, it is very important that parents, especially your kids, especially the ones that are in primary school, who have the opportunity to own a cell phone, is for you to monitor their cell phones to see what they are saying. Sometimes your child might say something about another child that may end up being cyberbullied. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can see those things happening, you could put a stop to it before it ends up into something, you know, larger, bigger, where the child on the other end feel victimized, where the child on the other end does not want to go to school and so forth. Why? It's because of your simple comment that you put on a cell phone or on WhatsApp, and it actually went throughout the school.
I'm dealing at the moment with a 21-year-old who's being so terribly cyberbullied. Social media posts, fake accounts, you know, they're talking about such graphic material. And you really have to ask yourself, what does anybody get from harming someone in this way? What does a person get? What's wrong with the individual who needs to cyberbully someone else? What's wrong with the human being that decides that I need to create fake accounts, post graphic pornographic material, sexually explicit content about another individual, create rumors? It's such a terrible story, and there's so many cases of it, and we really need to start dealing with it. I want to just say to everyone that's watching this on Facebook, share this on your page. Share this with your friends and your family members and the children around you. Let's get this video out to as many people as we can, because it's pointless having these conversations if they don't reach the people it's intended for. Here's what I want you to do after this show. When you get home tonight after dinner, have a chat with your kids. These conversations at home, which I've been driving and hammering home in every episode of this show, is crucial. We miss some really important information when we don't talk to our kids. You could have a bully in your home, and based on the conversation, you would be able to establish today if your child is okay with bullying or not. That's the first thing I think every one of us should do. Try to find out what your child feels about it. Does your child think it's laughable that a girl got kicked and punched and hit from behind? Does your child think it's no big deal? Was your child affected by it? Start there. Start the conversations. We encourage you so much as parents to be actively involved at school. Like Natasha, unfortunately, Natasha's cell phone battery has died and we can't seem to get her back on, but she did relay her story about her daughter, her 14-year-old daughter, Jordan, who was severely attacked in school on two occasions and bullied. and we support her and we give her all of our support and we hope that this can be remedied pretty soon. But if you heard what she said, now after the bullying, she's a lot more active and she wants to be more present and more vigilant in schools. And I'm saying to you, let's not wait for something to happen before we become so highly active. I think in Natasha's case, you know, she said her daughter came home and spoke about the bullying, but she didn't think it was as serious because her daughter's quite outspoken. If your child comes home with any sort of indication of bullying, address it immediately. Don't wait for some fatal attack. Don't wait for something to happen that has far-reaching consequences. Deal with it. And the same advice I'm giving to you, if your child is the bully, there has to be consequences. And it has to start at home. Vicky, your comments before we wrap up.
Yeah, you know, a very learned man said me this. He said, we are so caught up eating the fruits of someone else's tree that we figured the fruits in our tree are rotting. Now, what he meant by this, we so caught up of seeing what's happening in someone else's life, in that kid's life, what that kid is doing, what that kid is not doing to the parents, or the way the child behaves, that we forget to focus on our own kids. Sometimes our kids out there are crying out for our help, but we've got our ways and means of not focusing on them. And I'm saying this, that parents need to spend time with the kids. No matter what your day has been, it does not take you anything to spend a few moments of asking how the day was. And let me tell you, when you start that, you'll be surprised the amount of things your child wants to tell you. You'll be surprised that your child will be actually waiting for you to come from work to tell you some of the things that had to happen in school.
Absolutely. Vicky, you've sent me a poster. Can I put this up on Facebook?
Sure.
So I'll share a poster with you on Facebook a little later so you can have a look at what Vicky Preethraj does, the incredible work he's doing in our community. Get in touch with Vicky. I'll tag him on this video if you need any support. Vicky, we thank you so much for your support as always, and we commend you on the great work.
Thank you.
So on the show today, bullying, another incident, but I hope you've listened to the parent and listened to Vicky Preethraj, and I hope it drives home for you as a parent, as a child listening in, if you're watching abuse, if you've seen a child bullying someone else, you can confidentially report it. Tell it to your parents. Let your parents deal with it. Your parents can contact the school if you're afraid to do it. We have to start teaching our kids to speak out. We can't teach our kids that it's okay to be quiet if you're party to something like this. The child who recorded the video of little Jordan being attacked, for me, what was the reason for the video? Was the video recorded because the child wanted evidence about the bullying? It sounds like it was not the case. But more, it's become quite trendy to capture all of this ludicrous stuff that's happening. Violence, abuse, smoking of dacha and cigarettes and alcohol consumption. It's become trendy to record this and then to populate it on social media. It's not okay. And it's got to start at home. I hope the show meant something to you. Thank you for joining me. My name is CJ Benjamin. Always in the mood to make it right.
Download the Megazone Radio app and listen live. Six stations. The future is digital. Megazone Radio is digital now.